Born to die. I want you to ponder those three words as we navigate through this. I heard this phrase uttered on a radio program one day while I was driving, dealing with agriculture, livestock, things like that. At first glance, this is kind of a bleak phrase, born to die. At first thought, we can say that Jesus was born to die. Much like the sacrificial lambs of the Old Testament, Jesus was born, raised, and set aside so that one day he could be killed for the sins of the people and the sins of the world. But that's just at first glance. Jesus' purpose and God's plan is much more deeper and more specific than just those three little words. In Matthew chapter 1, we see when Joseph had found out that his betrothed bride, Mary, was expecting and was going to put her away secretly. The angel appeared to him and said, "What is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for it is he who will save his people from their sins." The angel told Joseph Jesus' purpose, and I'm sure it was unfathomable to him. In Mark 8, we see as Jesus was traveling with his disciples, in verse 27, they went along to the village of Caesarea Philippi, and on the way he questioned his disciples, saying to them, "Who do people say that I am?" And they told him, saying, "John the Baptist, others say Elijah, but others one of the prophets." And he continued questioning them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter answered and said to him, "Thou art the Christ." And he warned them to tell no one about him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and 3 days later raised again. Jesus spoke openly to his disciples about his death and when it would come about and what would transpire. And we see in John chapter 2, when Jesus cleansed the temple, we see the religious leaders there asked Jesus for a sign, and Jesus told them that in 3 days he would destroy this temple and in 3 days would raise it up again. Now the religious leaders thought he was talking about the temple they were standing in, but he was talking about his physical body. And it says in verse 22, "When therefore he was raised up from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scriptures and the word which Jesus had spoken." They remembered that he had uttered these phrases about his death, and it all became clear. What did John say when he saw Jesus approaching? "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." Jesus was that sacrificial lamb, but he was much more than that. In the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 5, we see that Jesus was also the high priest. In chapter 5 it says, "For every high priest taken from among men is appointed on behalf of men in things pertaining to God in order to offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. He can deal gently with the ignorant and misguided because he himself is also beset with weakness. Because of this, he is obligated to offer sacrifices for sins for the people and also for himself. No one takes from this the honor to himself, but receives it when he is called by God, even as Aaron was. So also Christ did not glorify himself as to become a high priest, but he said to him, 'Thou art my beloved Son, today whom I have begotten thee,' just as he also said in another passage, 'Thou art a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek.' In the days of his flesh, he offered up both prayers and supplication with loud crying and tears to the one who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his piety. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things in which he suffered, and having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation, being designated by God as a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Concerning him we have much more to say. It is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. Jesus was a high priest, but he was unlike any other high priest that had ever come about. In Hebrews chapter 7, in verse 26, it says, "For it was fitting that we should have a high priest, holy, innocent, undefiled, separate from sinners, and exalted above the heavens, who does not need daily, like those high priests, to offer up sacrifices for first for his own sins, then for the sins of the people, because he did this once and for all when he offered himself up. For the law appoints men as high priests who are weak, but the word of the oath, which came after the law, appoints a son made perfect forever." And lastly, concerning Jesus' purpose, Paul wrote some interesting things in 1 Timothy chapter 1. And he wrote these things to the young evangelist Timothy. And some of these things are pertaining to himself. And as we read through this, put yourself in Paul's place here, because I know I can. "I thank Christ our Lord, who has strengthened me because he considered me faithful, putting me into service, although I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor, and I was shown mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was more than abundant with the faith which are found in Christ Jesus. It is a trustworthy statement deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all. And yet for this reason I found mercy, in order that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might be demonstrated, his perfect patience as an example for those who would not believe in him for eternal life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever. Amen." Paul here shares that he believes that he was the chiefest sinner of all, and that Christ, coming to die for his sins, saved him. And I know each and every one of us hopefully feel that way about ourselves, that is only because of the death of Christ that we too could be saved. In verse 15 there, it says that when Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all. I'm so thankful for this time that God gave us, that we could come around his son's table and be reminded of the death, burial, and resurrection, that he came to save not just those lost in the world, but even me and even you. Our Father and God in heaven, we thank you, Lord God, so much for this time. We ask you, Lord, just to be with us now as we partake of these emblems. Lord, help us to do so in a worthy manner. And just please, Lord God, forgive us for when we sin and fall short. Just please help us to do better, Lord. Help us to live a more godly life. Help us to be like Christ in everything. And help us, Lord, to look to you and to your guidance, Lord, in this life, and not to ourselves, that we know that we are weak, and we know we are living in a dark and dying world, Lord God. And we just thank you, God, for this time that we could come and be in this place, Lord, and think about these things, Lord, and help us, God, to cherish these things in our hearts and our minds as we leave this place, Lord. And we love you, God, so much for each and everything you do for us. And most of all, God, we thank you, Lord, so much for your Son. In Jesus' name, amen.